You know, I tell you.
You know, it would be funny if we just played.
I gave the guys in the black Suburban their damn donuts with the pink frosting and the sprinkles on it. You know, just the kind they like.
A jelly filled kind?
I took them fresh coffee and the whole bit. You know, I mean, I did my whole due diligence, and still, my system froze up just as I'm about to discuss the lighter side of genocide with Vinnie Eastwood and Suzanne Posel. Are you guys ready to go live? Because I just gave you your intro.
Yeah, we're ready.
That's it.
Yeah.
Man. That's it. You're live. I have recovered the system. We're broadcasting now to the entire universe. You can even talk to those anal probing gray space alien dudes if you want to.
Hello, anal probing space alien dudes. Pleasure to meet you again. I'm Vinnie Eastwood, host of the Vinnie Eastwood Show. And with me is my friend and confidant, and I don't know, partner, but not in a marriage kind of way, Suzanne Posel from OccupyCorporatism.com as well.
Hello, everyone.
Remember to say hi to the Greys.
Hello, Greys. I haven't met you yet, but I'm sure you're very nice.
Yeah. Absolutely, with the shark skin. Speaking of shark skin, you know, I don't even know what to talk about today. You sent a message to me, Suzanne, earlier about Rand Paul doing this mad filibuster. Like, did
oh
we do like
God.
A 15-hour filibuster?
13 hours on the floor. He swore he's not going to leave until they call it off. He'll stand here till he can't speak no more. And he only lasted 13 hours.
You know, I ain't got respect for a man who can't last more than 13 hours. Ladies, ladies, you know what I'm talking about.
But if it lasts for 14, please see your doctor and go to the emergency room immediately.
Before you turn blue.
So, Rand Paul, this whole thing, I ran across a House... appropriations, Senator, House of Representatives Appropriations Committee bill that was passed that gives the Department of Defense, Veterans Affairs, and Planned Parenthood, they get to share in this $982 billion. Nearly $1 trillion was signed over to the government while we're supposedly under sequestering and we're budget cuts and all that. And listen to this. It happened exactly at the same time as Rand Paul is up there filibustering.
Sounds like a nice distraction to me. How can they call themselves the Appropriations Committee? I mean, it seems that behavior is kind of inappropriate.
Absolutely. Well, what does Planned Parenthood? Why do they have to make sure that the Department of Defense, the Veterans Affairs, and Planned Parenthood are well-funded?
Hold on a second. Veterans Affairs gives dangerous drugs which kill people. Planned Parenthood prevents people from being born. And what's the other one?
The Department of Defense.
And Department of Defense kills people. So the three institutions that kill people need to be well-funded because that's the only thing the government really gives a frack about anymore.
Absolutely.
Is killing people, not saving people, not improving people, not even making people smarter. I mean, heck, if the government was worried about making people smarter, why wouldn't they just shut down all their dumbass public schools and send their kids home to their parents?
Well, here's another thing that I found fascinating. So Paul is standing up there for 13 hours, and the first thing that he does when he comes off the Senate floor is he does an interview with the corporately funded Glenn Beck of the fake alternative media. Okay? Then he goes on Fox News with Kelly, with Megyn Kelly, and during the interview, she holds a sheet of paper. It's a letter, a second letter from Eric Holder addressed to Rand Paul, but it somehow got into the hands of Megyn Kelly before it even got to Rand Paul. They delivered it to the station where he was conducting the interview, supposedly, instead of delivering it to Rand Paul or his office or his, you know, the appropriate people. And she reads it, and she says that Eric Holder is answering a second question that he was unaware of prior, that Obama cannot drone and kill Americans on American soil as long as they are not combative. So what is a combatant? Explain that. Because I know because of the NDAA that anyone can be suspected of terrorist activity. And because of subsequent executive orders, they define things like, if you in any way, shape, or form happen to do business with a company that does business with the Iranian government, then you're considered a terrorist and all your bank accounts get frozen. And there are other groups, Al-Qaeda as well, and other groups and executive orders that go on explaining what a combatant is. With the veterans are mentally incompetent. And if we have these vague definitions of what a combatant is, then it appears to me that Obama didn't say, no, he can't kill Americans on American soil. He said that he has to label you as a combatant first before he drones you. And then after Kelly reads this to him, to Rand Paul, he says, wow, it's a victory. 13 hours and under duress, we forced the American government to admit that they won't kill Americans on American soil. Okay, guys, thanks very much. And by the way, I'm going to go ahead and vote for John Brennan for CIA director. And he did.
You know, the term dog and pony show comes to mind.
I put that in my article.
How did I know that? What was the other thing that I wanted to mention? Oh, yeah. Black Chevy Suburbans. Now, there is a group of people out there, very reasonable people, who assume that if there's a black Chevy Suburban parked outside your property with tinted windows, that there must be some kind of very scary agent of the federal government inside. And I was just thinking about this. You know what we should do, Suzanne? We should do a tour, you know, to all our friends in the Truth Movement and all these people whose radio shows we go on and all of that kind of stuff, and just park outside their homes for a couple of hours or something like that. You know, don't go in and talk to them. Just make sure we know where our friends live and go around and park a Chevy Suburban in front of them and freak them all out. It would be the greatest truth of practical joke of all time.
It would be great. We could make a documentary out of it, traveling across the country, scaring the hell out of it, giving them exactly what their fear pornography tells them, which is that at any moment somebody's going to bust in your door, even though nobody cares about you and nobody's monitoring you. But,
or even better idea, have a remote-controlled drone of our own and fly it over their house, you know, like do like little sweeps like an attacking seagull.
You can go to any toy store and buy these ready-made little flyers, and they're some of them are labeled as drones to help the small children like my son get used to the idea of manning drones.
You know, I find it an ironic term, manning a drone.
Aren't you
the drone in the first place if that's what you want to do with yourself?
Absolutely. But that's more of a derogatory statement.
That's true. Well, what was it? I think on Fight Club he wrote a little haiku. Something like the worker bees can fly away and the queen is their slave. Something along those lines. And it occurs to me that what's happening inside the United States right now is a queen bee type scenario, except the queen happens to be Barack Obama. Get him a little tiara, I think. That would be appropriate.
I've heard that he's a prima donna. He only likes to eat lobster.
Really?
And he yells at people incessantly.
Really?
He's a narcissist.
Apparently he also watches an awful lot of TV.
Yes. And here's something that was very interesting. I saw a link to an article, and I clicked on it. It was from The Hill. And allegedly, and I say that because the article from The Hill disappeared. And then everyone, I went and did a search for it, and everyone who quoted this article linked back to the article immediately. They didn't even say anything, so I was stuck without it. But the headline was great, that the Obama camp, Organizing for Action, is going to put out gun safety ads on TV. That's great. I mean, it's not great, but that That's beautiful. That is true. That is real time. We're watching the progression in real time, folks, if you are paying attention. We just watched a complete dog and pony show and distraction while the government gives the military-industrial complex and the eugenicists almost $1 trillion, and we were distracted. And the alternative movement, a lot of people on Facebook freaked out. Yeah, let's go behind Ron Paul. And they even did a petition on wethepeople.gov to support Rand Paul. And everyone's like, yeah, you know, we weren't sure about him because he endorsed Mitt Romney, but now we know he's the truth, and he's our hero, and he's our savior. And I was wondering for a second, and I never make predictions, but I was wondering, this is a theory. Would the establishment be wanting to, that was terrible English, I'm sorry. Would they want to create an alternative president or nominee or candidate?
Yeah, they absolutely would, to distract everybody in order to get behind them. And then once they don't win, they completely get disillusioned and then not wanting to protest or go out and support anybody ever again and get totally withdrawn by the whole process and let the whole country be taken over for all they care.
Right. That's what I was thinking last night. It hit me like a ton of bricks. I was like, wow, if in the next 3 years we see the big names of alternative media pushing Rand Paul in 2016, my theory might actually be true. To me, that would be incredible.
Mm.
That would prove to you or to anyone that the ones who are pushing Rand Paul must be co-opted, because Rand Paul and Ron Paul receive major amounts of funding from Peter Thiel and the libertarian movement in general. Peter Thiel is on the steering committee of the Bilderberg Group.
How very interesting.
just something to chew on. You know, I'm a farmer planting seeds. Maybe something will grow.
I've always got this real suspicion. As soon as somebody rises to fame, you know, and fortune or success in the mainstream establishment, it's incredibly suspicious for me. Just straight away, based on the fact that they don't let people who are really, really real and are willing to push the envelope as far as it can be get in. Those people are usually derailed, demonized and attacked and destroyed. Go ahead.
I thought it was interesting along those lines that Rand Paul was bringing up this subject of drones. And then all of a sudden, mainstream media was covering it just like the alternative media does. It's not just a mention here or there. They were actually bringing forth information that the alternative media brings forth every day when we dig into the actual issues and bring out information that they're not telling you in the mainstream.
Well, they'll say it the one time, but they won't repeat it 1,000 times. I think they need to just look at it this way. We're the new media. We're in charge now of where the news direction actually really goes. And in order to maintain any form of credibility, the mainstream media has to copy the things that we're saying every now and again, because their ratings are so far down, it's not even funny. I heard a while back that prime time, you know, 6 o'clock news, Fox News, ABC, CBS. I always find it how CBS has the letters BS in it, but their ratings were lower during prime time than an infomercial for the Chuck Norris Total Gym.
That's sad.
I don't know. I think that just speaks well of Chuck.
I don't know. I've gone, just, you know, when I'm bored, maybe I'll go to those sites where Chuck Norris will kill you if you do this, or, you know, you're being Chuck Norris or whatever. Yeah. But no, it's like it's a caricature. Everything becomes cartoonish, and the theater becomes more apparent as we move along.
It's true. You really can't deal with it anymore. And I was just thinking before I came on the show today is that there was this one journalist that I ambushed here with a camera. I think it might have been last year or year before. And I asked her, so how much percentage of mainstream media news stories do you think are true? 100%, 50%, what? She wouldn't answer the question. And the fact that if you're asking somebody who's in the mainstream media whether or not it's all true, and they don't say anything, it means that they know that they're telling you lies and they don't want to answer the question. And see, this is the other point as well that's very interesting, isn't it? Is that the mainstream media reporters know in some cases that they're lying through their frickin' teeth. They know that they're misreporting things and they still keep doing it, you know? They totally sold out. They certainly love those Gucci handbags and trips to Tahiti, don't they? And that, apparently that's really all they can think about. I was speaking to a journalist, one of New Zealand's most award-winning, you know, hardcore, credible journalists, Ian Wishart, who now writes books instead of doing the news reporting and stuff. He said that the journalists are just airheads. They really are stupid people. So who better to dumb down the population than get stupid people to do it for you? You know, aren't those supposed to be your examples to follow?
Hey, I'm a moron with a microphone. Listen to me. I won't lie to you, even though I'm being lied to and I believe it because I'm a moron.
Wait a minute now. I resemble that remark.
It's the thing that bothers me is that I don't remember the transition. I know it was within my lifetime. But it went from news to opinion. And now everything is somebody's opinion. And now people's opinions are now facts. And I don't understand. I don't remember when that crossed over. But it's ridiculous to think that somebody's opinion is a fact. They may be based on facts, but still, it's your opinion. And to say that that's news and that's what's actually happening is ridiculous.
It has pulled a big switcheroo, hasn't it? You talk to anybody that's a believer in the quote-unquote establishment. There's no such thing as an establishment because in order to be an establishment, you have to be established. Established means it's got checks, balances, and it works perfectly and there's nothing real problem with it. Emergent, on the other hand, is actually a more poignant description of this because it's growing and changing and making mistakes and things all the time. It's still in the emergent phase. So anybody who believes in the establishment or whatever, that's precisely what they do. You tell them a fact and they say, oh, well, that's just your opinion. And then they'll tell you their opinion and say, that's a fact.
Right. Right. And then people stand around and they regurgitate these opinion facts and to the point where they become facts. And then the actual facts don't matter anymore. They're inconsequential because you can't even trace it back. And rumor becomes reality. And then we're busy watching other people on CCTV cameras in their house or in a house where they've chosen to live in. And we think that that's cool. And I was watching an episode. We were sitting around with the kids and we watched an episode of Little House on the Prairie. And it was all about getting together and helping people out, even when they don't ask for it, because when they obviously need it. And my husband, when the episode was over, my husband said, we went from that to Twilight within our lifetime. And my jaw hit the floor because I realized, wow, we went from teaching people to care about each other and community and stability and learning about stability to
each other's head.
Yes. In less than 35 years.
Hey, and this is the point that I made on Topher Field's show. You can check out my website. The archives are on there, I think, vinnyeastwoodshow.com. We were talking about gun control in America, and Topher was adamant that Americans would never turn their guns in. And I said, well, hold on, man. I believe that over generations, with consistent brainwashing, you can get people to accept and do anything you really want, provided there's not enough resistance to stop your brainwashing and coercion and control mechanisms in their tracks in the first place.
Yes, well, since 1995, that infamous YouTube video with Eric Holder, they have been pushing propaganda. And since 1963, when The Naked Communist, the book was... was introducing the congressional record, and there were 45 points of how to turn a constitutional republic into a socialist communist dictatorship. One, I think it was 42, don't quote me on that, but there were 45 points. One of them was that people would be convinced to turn in their guns as a point of morality. And we constantly see these false flags where they do these egregious acts. They actually murder people. And then they get us to do things that we wouldn't normally do because we have this, I'm fascinated by this point, actually, how belief in something causes us to do things that we wouldn't normally do. And I'm not saying like absolutely horrible acts like murder or rape or whatever. I'm talking about shifting your personal paradigm because you have heard something and they know how to affect you in such a way that you now change your whole belief system based on this idea. And that fascinates me how they're able to do that.
Well, it's just a long, long period of time. People don't realize that brainwashing is addictive. That's why when you take somebody who's watching 6 or 8 hours of television a day and you say, okay, we're going to turn that television completely off, they start to go a bit weird, you know, as yes. They adjust to life without television. It's because they're addicted to mind control. We all are, just like we're addicted to high sugar, high fat, high salt foods. We're addicted to lies. People love lies, regardless of how we want to say it. We all do it, you know. Right. Anybody who says that they never lie is lying.
Even, you know? A white lie, you know. I have 2 small children. They lie all the time. The 2-year-old lies, now that she can talk.
Yeah. See, that's the lesson of humanity. As soon as we can talk, that's when we start to lie.
But I think it's the, you know, I don't like lying. To me, there are 2 things that are absolutely stupid and we shouldn't do them. Lying and stealing. Absolutely ridiculous. You can go get a job. You can barter and trade. You don't have to steal. And lying, that whole trust issue, we absolutely need that to survive. At some level, we have to be able to trust each other. And when you break that, it's really devastating.
Mm. Well, it's also interesting to notice that when women lie, they usually lie to protect somebody. When men lie, they usually lie to protect themselves. And what I find very complicated about our society is that lying is actually a part of really who we are. And it's not necessarily a bad thing because, as you say, you know, white lies and what have you. Or, like, for instance, lying to the police. That does not ring true. That does not ring true as a bad thing because, you know, it's like you're lying to a liar. What's the difference? You know, is that bad? Is that morally, you know, somebody comes up. Somebody comes up to you and busts you for having a joint or something like that and say, is this joint yours? Well, they're enforcing a law that's based on a lie. And you say, no, that joint's not mine. And they go, oh, well, bugger, we'll have to let you go instead of arresting you and putting you in a cell and handcuffing you and letting you out at like 2 o'clock in the morning or something like that and making you walk 15 miles home. And, you know, like if you lie to a liar, it's not that bad. But again, that's just moral flexibility talking. If you have rigid morality, that kind of thing ain't cool. And I've got this real kind of a weird sensation that I don't know truth from fact in a lot of cases, but I've got pathological honesty, right? Absolute pathological honesty in most cases. I couldn't lie to the census worker and say, oh, I forgot to fill out my census form or anything like that. I said, yes, I do have these forms, and then ambushed them with a camera. I didn't lie to the homie G's who were accosting me a couple of days ago with their Crips thing, with their Crips insignias and what have you. I told them, you know, straight out what the frack was up, you know, and just, I wanted to tell them, look, you're a bunch of criminal scum, okay? You're even worse than the police because you ain't got rules. And that's the only thing that I hate worse than police who don't follow any kind of morality is proper gangs.
Vinny, Suzanne, I hate to do it, but you know these 30-minute segments, they go by in a heartbeat. You've got about 3 minutes here, just enough time to sum it up. Make sure you mention your websites, do whatever promotions you need to do, and then I got to take the hook and drag you off the stage. Sorry.
Okay, well, please go to realgorillamedia.com. We have a group of wonderful people who are actually affecting change. You can trust every source that's on there, news and radio and activists and people who have groups that you can join and everything like that. If you want to sign up, go to the contact page, fill out the form and email it to me at admin@occupycorporatism.com. You can also visit me at OccupyCorporatism.com. I have a radio show on AFR on Thursdays from 1 to 3 Pacific time. It's the Region 10 Report on American Freedom Radio, or you can listen to the archives at radio.occupycorporatism.com.
Yeah, and I've got a lot of websites and stuff to put out. So there's my YouTube channel, Mr. News Guerrilla Media. You can just search Vinny Eastwood on YouTube, should come up with it. And the VinnyEastwoodShow.com. That's Vinny with a Y, because it's the most important question. And Eastwood, as like Clint Eastwood, as in go ahead, make my news. And there's also RealGorillaMedia.com, as Suzanne just mentioned. And the original, which seems to be having a little bit of problems right now, GorillaMedia.co.nz, or .nz for the Americans listening. And I also wanted to recommend that people tune in to the radio broadcast on AmericanFreedomRadio.com 5 days a week, 5 till 7 Central Time. That's 3 to 5 Pacific, 6 to 8 Eastern Time. All right. So I think that's really about it, and we might be playing you some music, I think.
Well, you know, I was going to let you have another 45 seconds. I mean, you know, come on, Vinny. I know you're a ham. You hate to give up the microphone. I'm sure you can fill another 40 seconds.
Well, I love to give up the microphone, actually. let's give it up for the microphone. Yeah.
You guys did a great job. I want to thank you so much for participating in the United We Strike Marathon. It was a blast having you. Your material is poignant. And I love the way you, particularly Vinny, you get it out there with a smile. You make us laugh, even though we are indeed dealing with the lighter side of genocide. I really do appreciate your material.
Well, after all, it's just the end of the world.
Yeah, what the heck? You know, why get excited about it? It's just the end of the world, right?
What's the worst that could happen?
I'm gonna take us out with a little Phantom of the Opera by Lindsey Stirling. Here we go.
Apparently there was one of those done by a group of singing chickens called Bantam of the Opera.
Bantam of the Opera. Well, I'll have to look for that. Is it on YouTube?
No, it doesn't exist. I made it up.